After occupying Liberation Square in Ukraine's capital, Kiev, for 3 months, escalating street battles between protesters and police resulted in more than 85 deaths. The violence and loss of life, which grew out of opposition to Ukrainian President Viktor Yanukovych's abandonment of a proposed trade deal with the European Union, brought down the government and sent the deposed president, now facing charges of mass murder, into hiding. Ukraine, now close to bankruptcy and nearly $73 billion in debt, is a divided nation with half the population in the West identifying with Europe, while Ukrainians in the East and South, culturally and linguistically, have closer ties to Russia. After President Yanukovych secured a $15 billion bailout deal with Moscow in December, protests escalated. Now with Russian aid suspended and opposition parties trying to form a new government before elections in May, Ukraine's new leaders are seeking $35 billion in aid from the International Monetary Fund, the EU and US, but that funding, if provided, will come with unpopular strings attached in the form of harsh austerity measures. Your reporter spoke with Eric Dreitzer, an independent geopolitical analyst and founder of the website StopImperialism.org, who assesses the political upheaval in Ukraine and the growing influence some extreme right-wing and neo-Nazi groups now have as part of the opposition coalition as the nation confronts a deep economic crisis.
The reductionistic view that the U.S. corporate media takes is one that it's not simply because they don't understand it. It's because they're pushing a particular narrative. And the narrative has a geopolitical dimension. At the broadest level, the narrative is an anti-Russian one. That is to say, the Yanukovych government representing some sort of a surrogate for Vladimir Putin and the Russian government. Therefore, everything that the democratically elected, albeit corrupt, government of Ukraine under President Yanukovych, everything that they did was bad, was the representation of evil. And anyone in opposition to them is good, is democracy, is an activist or something like this. But of course, the truth is far from that. In fact, the opposition is made up of a number of different elements. Some of them, what I would call more liberally minded, Western inclined elements, typified by a few of the opposition leaders, in particular the well-known celebrity Vitaly Klitschko, the former champion boxer, but also some other pretty well-known individuals like a man by the name of Arseniy Yatsenyuk, who is the noted in the Victoria Nuland recorded, I guess we could call it leaked conversation that she had, in which he was supposed to be their handpicked successor to lead the Ukrainian government. So there's a number of individuals that represent the so-called liberal wing of the opposition, and these were the ones who were being put forward by the U.S. media and the narrative that they were putting together. However, there is another very insidious element that is actually, I would argue, in the driver's seat of the opposition, and these would be the fascist and neo-Nazi elements who have tremendous amount of sway on the ground. A number of different organizations, some of them organized political parties, others organized street mobs, and various others somewhere in between. And they are the ones that you actually see if you look at the footage coming out of the Maidan Square in Kiev. They are the ones who have been engaged in the violent struggle against the police and so forth. And some groups that listeners need to be aware of, the Right Sector, which is a broad neo-Nazi organization, they were some of the most prevalent in engaging in the violence. The Svoboda or Freedom Party is a neo-Nazi political party that has deep ties to the historic Ukrainian so-called nationalism, going back to their collaboration with the Nazis in World War II. These elements, whether they're a minority, whether they're a majority, they're the ones who are really driving events on the ground.
Eric, one of the major issues that brought on this crisis in Ukraine was the decision the Ukrainian government had to make about whether to move toward Russia or the European Union to bail itself out of this horrendous debt. It's got $73 billion in debt, it's estimated, and Russia offered $15 billion. The European Union offered substantially less, and a prescription of International Monetary Fund austerity policies like we've seen unfold in places like Greece and Italy and Spain. The Ukraine is a divided nation with culturally and by language and familial ties, the eastern and southern part of the country closely linked with Russia, and the West and Kiev linked more closely to Europe. Why is it not possible that instead of having an up and down choice between Europe and Russia, there couldn't have been some accommodation made so that Ukraine could have association with both Europe and Russia?
Well, that's precisely what should have happened. But again, your analysis presumes that Europe was looking for some kind of a rational agreement, which they were not. They were essentially creating a blackmail scenario where they were forcing Ukraine to choose one side or the other, knowing that it would put the Ukrainian government in a very untenable position. Now, what could have happened would have been a sort of a tripartite agreement where, like, for instance, like what Canada has, where Canada participates in NATO, but Canada also has agreements with Europe and with other parties outside of the NAFTA agreement. You could have had something very similar to that in Ukraine, where Ukraine had a partnership agreement with Europe, but also with the customs union of Russia and the other former Soviet republics. And you could have had some kind of an accommodation. But of course, that wouldn't have served the geopolitical strategy of the United States and their European allies, because by making Ukraine choose, they forced the government to side with Russia, thereby inciting the destabilization campaign that they were looking for. Ukraine did not have the choice to go with both sides. They were forced to choose. And of course, I think, in my judgment, the United States and the European Union knew full well that Yanukovych would side with Russia.
That was Eric Dreitzer, an independent geopolitical analyst and founder of the website StopImperialism.org. For more perspectives on the crisis in Ukraine, visit our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.